Good evening. Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening, and we're going to visit a subject that we have visited in the distant past, but it's time to bring it forward again, and that's what I'm calling flower rags. Joplin especially, Scott Joplin wrote a lot of rags that had names in them that had to do with flowers, and most of those rags are very stately rags, not fast and tinkly, but stately and in some cases somber. So we're going to cherry pick our way through the ragtime literature and come up with some flower rags, all of which were written back before 1920. I think you'll enjoy the program because it's a lot of lush music tonight. We'll start with a piece by Joseph Lamb, one of the big three ragtime composers back in those days. Along with Scott Joplin and James Scott, Joe Lamb was right up there. And this is one of his early pieces from the year 1913. It's called the American Beauty Rag. And for those of you who are not horticulturists, the American Beauty was a rose. It's a hybrid rose bred in France in 1875, brought to this country that same year and renamed the American Beauty Rag from the French name, which I can't pronounce. And it remained the best-selling rose in the United States until well into the 1920s. So here is the American Beauty Rag, named for a rose, played by the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Thank you. Joe Lamb's American Beauty Rag from 1913, the first of our flower rags this evening. That was the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Turning now back the clock a little bit, back the calendar to 1909, and to a composer named W.C. Powell. And he wrote a piece that year called Bachelor's Button, which of course is a nice little flower. And our version tonight will be played by the Chrysanthemum Ragtime Band on an early piece of vinyl. Bachelor Button is played by the Chrysanthemum Ragtime Band. Well, we're doing this alphabetically, our flowers alphabetically. And so I guess it's fitting that following the Chrysanthemum Ragtime Band, we should turn to Scott Joplin and a piece that he wrote in 1904 called The Chrysanthemum. It's subtitled An Afro-American Intermezzo. I've never been able to figure out why, because it's the structure is exactly that of a classic rag. But he decided to name it that way, perhaps thinking it might sell better. I just don't know. So, having said all of that, let's listen to the River Raisin Ragtime Review as it plays The Chrysanthemum by Scott Joplin. River Raisin Ragtime Review from upstate Michigan has brought us The Chrysanthemum by Scott Joplin from 1904. Well, moving on through our flower rags this evening, we have yet another Joplin piece. Won't be the last one tonight, but alphabetically, we now come to Gladiolus Rag from 1907. Gladiolus rag is based on the structure of the maple leaf rag, but it's much more, has much more grandeur to it, and it's really a lovely, lovely piece. I happen to think that it is Joplin's finest work, but there are other great contenders that he has written, and so I can't argue if other people pick a different one. But let's listen now as the American Ragtime Ensemble from San Francisco brings us Joplin's Gladiolus Rag. Well, they have a nice full sound for just a quartet. Now that was supposed to shut off. Uh-oh. Gladiolus Rag, as played by the American Ragtime Ensemble. Moving now to George Botsford. Botsford was a Tin Pan Alley tunesmith from the Boston area, and wrote quite a number of popular rags. His best-known one was the Black and White Rag from 1908, followed closely in 1910 by the Grizzly Bear. But here are a couple of flower rags that he wrote that are not so well-known, but still very nice. From 1911, we have the honeysuckle rag. And to bring it to us is Professor Bill Edwards. Okay, very nice version of George Botsford's Honeysuckle Rag as played by Bill Edwards. And from that same year, 1911, also by George Botsford, is his Hyacinth, sometimes called the Hyacinth Rag, but the title is really Hyacinth. And our artist this evening is the late, great Wally Rose, part of the ragtime revival of the 1940s out of the San Francisco area. What a great ragtimer he was. Thank you. Well, zippity-doo-dah there, a little faster than usual. Wally Rose and Hyacinth by George Botsford. Well, we just completed a very successful summer mini-drive here to try and bring our contribution level up to where it will sustain us, and it was very successful. I was not able to participate, having been out of town, but I want to thank all those who pledged during the Ragtime America show. And I got a nice note here that I would like to pass on to you from Charles Edward Judd. He says, I live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, and listen on the internet radio, thanks to your internet feed. So he pledged during the Ragtime show and sent us a nice note. So thanks to Charles Edward Judd for his support and for your support for all those who did pledge during that mini drive. Let's move on. And we come now to the Lily Rag, written by Charles Thompson from 1914. Thompson was considered one of the best of the ragtime performers in the Missouri area. It was claimed by others that he could beat any of them hands down. He left us with just a scant few compositions, but this one has gained a certain amount of fame, and rightfully so. So here's the Lily Rag, played for us by Mr. Dave Wright.
Thank you.
the late, great Dave Wright and the Lily Rag, Charlie Thompson from 1914. Let's turn now to England and to the great novelty piano composer Billy Merrill. My goodness, what a legacy he left us of wonderful, wonderful pieces. This is probably his best known piece. It's a little later than the 1920s. It's 1927, but it certainly fits in quite well. It's called Marigold. And to play it for us this evening is Elliot Adams, a great pianist from Sacramento. Isn't that pretty? That's just so nice. Marigold by Billy Merrill from 1927. That was Elliot Adams. That one came out on a cassette many years ago. I have since transferred it to a CD so we can continue to enjoy it. Back to Joplin now. And from 1907, a very, very stately piece, The Roseleaf Rag. Done wonderfully well by the Paragon Ragtime Orchestra. Thank you. The Rose Leaf Rag, one of Joplin's finest. That was the Paragon Ragtime Orchestra from Pennsylvania. Turning now to a record that I cut my teeth on as far as ragtime is concerned. This is one of the first ragtime records I ever owned. I actually didn't own it. My dad bought it for me. I was still underage, I'd say, still in high school. Joe Finger's Car, and it's a little different approach to what we're listening to tonight, a little more tinkly, but certainly brings back memories to me. From 1911, it's Percy Wenrich's Sunflower Rag, and despite all the records I've been collecting over the years, this is the only recorded version that I've ever discovered, but it has a great place in my heart. I wore that record out. Joe Finger's Car and the Sound of the 1950s, Sunflower Rag by Percy Wenrich. Speaking of sunflowers, from 1901 we have the Sunflower Slow Drag. The Slow Drag was a dance of the day, and this is a collaboration with Scott Joplin and one of his pupils, Scott Hayden. He collaborated on four rags with Hayden, and this one was exceedingly popular. The others were marginally popular, but all of them excellent works. So here is the Sunflower Slow Drag, and here is the New England Ragtime Ensemble. Thank you. Well, they ended that with a flourish. That was great. New England Ragtime Ensemble. Gunther Schuller's the conductor there. And it's Sunflower Slow Drag by Scott Joplin and Scott Hayden. Well, we'll end our collection of early flower rags here, flower rags from the early years of ragtime, with two rags bearing the same name but by different composers. And we'll start with one from 1916. It's called the Wildflower Rag, written by Clarence Williams. And kind of an unusual piece for Williams to write. He wrote mostly blues and pop tunes in the late teens and early 20s. But this is a very nice flower rag. As I say, it's the Wildflower Rag. Wildflower is all one word. We'll remember that when we get to the next one. And our performer this evening is from London, England. Here is Mr. Neville Dickey. Neville Dickey on the piano, boy, he's got that rock solid beat in the left hand that a lot of performers should be doing but don't. And that was Clarence Williams' Wildflower Rag from 1916. Did have kind of a little swing to it, which most of Williams' works did. Let's turn now to a woman that I know nothing about. We go from Williams to Williamson, from Clarence Williams to Carlotta Williamson. And in 1910, she wrote the Wildflower Rag, 6 years before Williams wrote his. Hers is two words, Wildflower Rag. And it'll be played for us by Nora Hultz. Nora Hultz has recorded several albums of rags written by women, and that has become her passion after she retired from musical academia and is digging up those rags that have been forgotten and recording them. So she's recorded over 125 rags so far, as I recall. And this is one of them, so let's give a listen to Wildflower Rag by Carlotta Williamson. Nora Hultz has brought us Wildflower Rag by Carlotta Williamson. Well, that's our collection of flowers for the evening. That's our bouquet. Next time we're on the air, we will present contemporary flower rags. This is a trend that has continued with current day ragtime composers, and so we have quite a few to draw from, and I hope you'll find that entertaining as well. This is Jack Rommel saying thanks very much for joining us on Ragtime America this evening as we have saluted the genre of flower rags found in a lot of ragtime. And hope you'll tune in again on another Thursday evening for some more recorded ragtime. The time is 9 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks as always, Jack, and welcome to Swing Shift this evening. Tonight, I'm fulfilling a request made a couple weeks ago by a listener who wanted to hear some of the great theme songs of the big bands, the signature tunes of both singers and big bands during the 30s and 40s. So I've compiled a selection I'm sure you're going to enjoy. So stay tuned. And that's my theme, Harry James and his orchestra with The Mole. You know, during the 30s and 40s, virtually all the big bands and the major vocalists had a signature tune that opened and closed their broadcasts and their live appearances. On broadcasts, you knew instantly who it was. Even if you were switching around the dial, you could recognize who that was. And whether it was featuring an arrangement or a big hit record or the instrumental capacity of the band leader, there was nothing to replace these wonderful themes that became so familiar on radio and in person. And live, there was quite a reaction from the crowd when the evening got started with one of these wonderful themes. On a personal note, I was quite jealous of what these announcers had to say at the beginning and end of these broadcasts, and you'll hear some of my favorites. I wish I would have been there in many ways to announce like they did for Glenn Miller's opening at the Glen Island Casino in New Rochelle, New York,